Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampas... Wait, no, this isn't the Wampas Lair podcast. This is actually episode 6 of Tales of the Larians. And no, don't adjust your headset or your earbuds. You're not hearing things wrong. This is actually Jason doing an episode of Tales of the Larians. Carl and I have been trying to get it started so that we're alternating on these things, or at least, you know, mixing it up a little bit. And I've finally able to do this. Well, I was able to do this like 2 weeks ago, but that's another story. Yes. You heard him here. This is not my Tales of the Larians. I am here with a good friend of the show and myself. He's actually been on the podcast a couple times. It's Joey. Joey Letson. How's it going, Joey?
Doing well. Nice to be on.
Good.
Again.
Yes. Before we jump into this, Joey, we tried recording this about, what, 2.5 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah, we tried, and we were in person, and it was great. It was an adventure, I guess you could say.
Yes. I went over to your school.
Yes.
Where you... It was, what, the first day or the first week of school?
It was definitely the first week of school, I believe, yes.
Yeah, and so you were all still getting set up in the library there, and we decided to record in your library, which, you know, you're starting to Star Warsify, which is awesome.
Yes.
And it was an adventure recording. It was a lot of fun doing it in person. I like doing that. We're doing this over Skype this time around, darn.
Well, we had the custodian coming in. We had vacuuming outside the door. We had a torrential downpour right towards the end of the recording session, too. So it really sounded like Camino as well.
It really did. And yes, folks, we do get torrential downpours in Tucson. All of our rain, about 90% of our rain, comes within the span of 6 weeks for the year. So, yeah, when it comes hard. And that's not fun.
But when all is said and done, I didn't have the recording settings correct. My fault.
Joey.
My fault. Yeah. But that's okay, because I'm going to be just as enthusiastic, if not more, than our first time around. Because being an educator, I was telling Jason beforehand, being an educator, I know that, you know, so you have multiple periods where you have, like, you know, your social studies class, second period, and then your social studies class, third period. And you have to give that lesson with as much enthusiasm as you did the first time around. So here I go. I'm going just as much enthusiasm, if not more, to this class. This recording, I mean. Yes.
And, of course, Joey did not write down any of these questions, so he has no idea what I'm about to ask him.
No, I hit myself real hard with a hammer, so I am completely brainwashed of everything that happened before.
Good.
I barely even remember my name. I'm good.
Well, I hope you remember your Tale of the Larians. So
yes,
good.
Well, do you remember then... Star Wars? I remember my name and Star Wars, so I'm good.
Okay, good. That's all we need for this show.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into it. We're gonna hit this off with one of Carl's favorite questions to ask any Star Wars fan. What is your favorite Star Wars movie, and why?
My favorite Star Wars film is Star Wars: A New Hope, which I just call Star Wars usually, just because that's what I always called it growing up. It's just Star Wars. However, of course, you know, ever since the prequels, it was, you know, I like the first one. And people go, well, what do you mean by the first one? Well, I mean Star Wars. Well, which Star Wars? Star Wars: A New Hope. So I'm just going to Star Wars: A New Hope now. The reason I really like that film the most, I think, I don't think it was the first one I was introduced to, but it's the one that I think when I started really reading about Star Wars, I mean, reading like there was a book that I bought when I went to the Smithsonian when all the props and stuff like that were on display, I believe, in like 1999. I happened to go to Washington, D.C. Got a book called Star Wars, The Magic, The Myth, or something like that. Magic of Myth. Anyway, I read that, and then I really got to see how, in just that one movie, George Lucas was able to hit upon all the different mythological elements that he really wanted to hit, you know? All condensed into that one film that was a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
All right there. You did if that was the only film he was going to make, he was going to put it all in just in case.
Right. Right. And that wasn't a very big book, was it? Because I feel like I might have run across that at the library when I was a kid.
I think there's at least one version of it. The one I have has C-3PO on the cover. I've seen another Star Wars mythology book on the and it has like a kind of a Roman or somebody like that on the cover as well. I don't know if it's the same book, just a different cover or not.
Okay.
But I still have it. I you know, flip through it from time to time. I love it. It's a great book.
Does it have some of the mythology elements from The Phantom Menace in it?
No, because it came out right when The Phantom Menace was, I believe, just about to come out. And I wish it had been out about a year afterwards, because there was a Naboo starfighter at the Smithsonian. You could walk up to it and you couldn't touch it, but you could get up right next to it. And at the time, it was just like, wow, that's a Naboo starfighter. And I just kind of think like, that looks cool. But I didn't really have a connection to it, like, say, an X-Wing or something like that. You know, it was more like, there's the new ship from Star Wars. That's cool. Okay, let's move on. Whereas today, if I saw that, I would be like, oh, my God, it's the Naboo Starfighter. So, it was right before. So it didn't hit upon any of the prequel elements, just the original trilogy.
Okay. Well, there's one that I read. I think it was a DK book, actually. Called Star Wars The Magic of Myth or something like that. And I remember it specifically because it had some Phantom Menace elements. I remember specifically, of course, Jar Jar in talking about the role of the Fool. And of course 3PO was also mentioned in there as well. Classic trilogy wise.
And that's what I try to tell people whenever they start complaining about, oh, the prequels, oh, Jar Jar, I say, look, I Jar Jar is not the funniest guy to me. I do laugh at his jokes. I always have laughed at many of his jokes. But I tell them, more importantly, you have to understand the purpose of Jar Jar. Now, you don't have to laugh at Jar Jar, but it's important to know why he was put into the film for a reason. He wasn't just dumped in just to be dumped in. Part of it was, yes, to appeal to the kids and to some adults as well. Hey, why not? But he is playing the part of the Fool, and of course we all know what happens to fools. They sometimes get taken advantage of, and bad things happen. So they're
very true. All right.
So that was question one.
Yes, that was question one. Why don't we move on? How were you introduced to Star Wars?
I was introduced to Star Wars, I believe. It had to be through my dad. How exactly? I'm thinking it was just through Betamax tapes. Now, whether that was like a copy of Star Wars from HBO, HBO still does this to this day. Free week of HBO. So,
right.
Back in the day, we would record every single movie that was, appropriate for kids from HBO in that whole week. And then you would have like months and months of movies to go back and watch over and over again. So it may have been from one of those times on HBO, or I seem to remember my father and his friend daisy chaining a couple Betamax machines together once to make a copy of a tape. So that might have happened from there, the early days of kind of piracy, perhaps. But, whatever.
You didn't see these in the theaters?
No. The first time I saw them in the theaters was the special editions.
Okay.
That was the first time in 97, and just like that famous commercial showed, where the X-Wing is popping out of the TV set, which had such an impact on the audiences at that point. Like everyone, now we're kind of used to movies being released on, the big screen again. Back in those days, it very rarely happened, other than maybe the Disney films before Disney decided, like, hey, we should probably put these on VHS and then put them in the quote-unquote Disney vault for a while. they would release those films like The Jungle Book and stuff, like, you know, out into theaters. But never, like, a movie like Star Wars. And just the fact that they did that was just so exciting. So I still remember my friends and I lining up to go get our tickets to Star Wars. And back there, back then, of course, in the late 90s, there was no Fandango. So if you wanted to get your ticket, you had to buy your ticket exactly 1 week before it opened. And how do you do that? You get there right when the movie theater opens and you wait.
Stand in line.
Yep. So there was a line for each time. Like, it was like week after week after week because of all, you know, Empire came out and then Jedi came out. So yeah, a line around the building to get your line, you get your ticket for Star Wars, and then the opening day, a line around the building to get in. It was an exciting time. I think I got on the news once or twice in one of those lines. I'm not exactly sure if it was for a special edition or for the Phantom Menace, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of good times.
That's funny. How old were you when you first introduced to Star Wars with the Betamaxes?
Probably 3 or 4, I'm guessing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think. I mean, Star Wars was always, I grew up in the early 80s, so Star Wars was always, it's kind of a weird time, because Star Wars was definitely there much more when I was younger, and then we go into the dark times, you know, when there is no Star Wars. After 1984, 85, when I really started getting into toys more, mm-hmm. there was less and less Star Wars. I mean, we had the Ewok movies, but I even remember as a kid watching those going, this doesn't feel like Star Wars. Where are the stormtroopers? Where are the where's Luke? When is Luke coming into this now? And trying to figure out all that. So really, as a kid, I mean, I knew of Star Wars, and I had a few Star Wars figures. I had, you know, I had my Darth Vader and a Luke and a 3PO and R2 and a Yoda. And I had my little, Star Wars on got those little records, you know, with turn the page when you hear R2 beep like this.
Yes.
Yes, which those were awesome. I actually bought a Star Wars ABC book a few years ago, actually, just so I could hear that little burr all over again. Anyway,
that's funny.
That was my main thing with Star Wars. There wasn't as many toys. I mean, on the shelves, maybe you'd see a few Ewoks on clearance, perhaps, but that was about it. I mean, my main toys were He-Man and Ghostbusters and maybe the Thundercats, you know? Mm-hmm. That was about it. And then I didn't really get back into the Star Wars until the early 90s, really when, when Heir to the Empire, I would start seeing that, like, all of a sudden, it just started showing up on the shelves of B. Dalton Bookstore. And I'd be like, what is this? What's Luke Skywalker's on the cover? What's going on? And then it was just exciting just to, you know, start getting back into it. And it was like a slow trickle back into the groove of things, you know. There was just Bendem figures at that time. So when they started coming out with actual action figures again, it was real exciting. Got to get all those bigger muscle He-Man. I mean,
right.
Talk about He-Man. Luke looked like He-Man right there when you got him. But anyway.
All right. Let's move on to question 3. Who is your favorite Star Wars character and why?
Okay. This is always a tough question for me because it's different sometimes each day. But I typically go back and forth between two characters, Obi-Wan and Luke. And today I'm going to say that Obi-Wan is my favorite character. Just because, I don't know, I think the performance that both Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor did was just such a fantastic, you know, they both did such a fantastic job, and they both added different things to that character. And then of course you add James Arnold Taylor into the mix, and you mm-hmm. really have a fully developed character. And that's, I think, why Obi-Wan has become normally, you know, if I would say 60% of the time, my favorite character. because I can pull like different timelines of Obi-Wan. Which Obi-Wan do I like today? You know, and I can focus on the characteristics I like about that character for that day. But I don't know. Luke is such a cool guy too, especially Return of the Jedi Luke.
Right.
I mean, he's just such a cool guy. And I just hope we get to see more of him in Episode 8, because which we will.
I assume we will.
Yeah, well, hope that would be funny if he just pointed a direction at the beginning of Episode 8, and then Rey went on an adventure by herself.
Again,
he's
there for the first 30 seconds, and he doesn't say a word,
He just points to the right, and then she just goes to the right, and then moves on from there, and he just keeps looking off the cliff. Like, okay, that's interesting. Maybe we'll get him at Episode 9. I don't know. No.
That would be funny.
No, all that right. Would not be funny. That would be very upsetting.
It would. That's true. It's true. Although I would be slightly amused for about 2 seconds. All right. You started getting into this a little bit earlier, but... As a kid, what was your favorite way to play Star Wars? And then how does that transition into how do you play Star Wars now?
Okay. Well, when I was a kid, playing Star Wars, like I said, you know, I didn't have that many of the toys. I mean, I remember some of my friends having some of the toys and the figure, you know, the vehicles and stuff like that. But, you know, I had little brothers and... You know, the vehicles break easily when you have little brothers around and everything. So I didn't have any of those.
That's very true.
Yeah, I didn't even have...
Spoken like a true older brother.
Yeah. But my one of my friends had one of the lightsabers, actually, with the tube, you know, basically you swing it and it would just go like that, make that little whoosh kind of sound. It was pretty lame, but I wanted it so much and I couldn't have it. I didn't really get into playing Star Wars until I was... Yeah, like into middle school and even a little bit into high school, and when those figures started coming out again, and when some of the new EU was going out. I mean, Heir to the Empire and even Dark Empire, which Dark Empire was such a horrible... Like, I even knew that Dark Empire didn't really feel like Star Wars when I was, you know, looking at the comics and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But there was a great... Well, that's being pretty generous... A very nice audio drama with Dark Empire. And that really had an effect on me because I always like radio dramas and stuff like that. And this one had Billy Dee Williams in it. And Billy Dee Williams, hello. But he was really over the top playing Lando in the Dark Empire audio drama. I'm sure there's probably the whole thing is probably up on YouTube for people to listen to. I said, you know what? I have to do this. We have to make our own audio drama. So, it was me and my brothers, and we kind of made the plot as we went along. We had the tape recorder, and we had pressed record, and I played the parts of Lando. I had to play Lando. You know, it's my best. I had to do my best Billy Dee as possible back then, and I played. Not only Han, but also Leia as well, which was which was interesting because I still remember all my Leia character did was just get annoyed with Han the entire time, which was just interesting. Again, it's got to look crazy just from any. I'm glad no one was recording, like videotaping it, because it must have looked insane for like this kid in seventh grade, eighth grade, going, "Okay, Leia, come on." All right, Han. Okay, let's go over here. You know, just do it. multiple personalities are so much fun in adolescence. But anyway, I played Star Wars with my brothers that way. I mean, back then there was also the Super Star Wars game on the SNES, and that was a lot of fun, really hard. I mean, I got it for the Wii a few years later, and I was like, geez, this game is hard. How did I play it when I was a kid, you know?
The PlayStation 4 bundle that I got came with it.
Yes.
And God, that thing is hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think this game was designed to be beat.
No, it's an Empire. Super Empire is even harder than Super Star Wars.
Oh, dear.
I mean, if you're able to get past the Wampa in Empire Strikes Back, it actually becomes a little easier. I seem to remember... But you know, you it's one of those games that you play it enough, and then you realize there is a pattern to certain attacks, and you just need to know and memorize how to do certain things. But unfortunately, it is a game that it is designed that you have to play it over and over and over and over again, and after a certain amount of lives, you're dead. That's it. But anyway, but there was that, and of course there was the Shadows of the Empire game, which I devoured that game along with the book and along with the soundtrack and everything else about that movie without a movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I kind of played Star Wars. I mean, I did it as much as I could with my brothers, and, you know, I bought all the toys and they only had to just, help entertain me as I messed around with them and everything like that. But I actually quote-unquote played with those up until probably maybe about the Phantom Menace or something like that, but after that I basically bought them to look at and just put them on the shelf and have them look cool and everything like that.
Gotcha.
So that's what I still do today. If I see a figure that I like, I'll kind of pose it in some cool little ways and everything, but yeah, no one plays with me in the action figures anymore. It's just kind of sad. My wife just rolls her eyes, so I can't do that.
What if I came over and we played action figures?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, today it's just the video games, basically, as much as, well, whenever I can. I mean,
right.
Battlefront, I haven't played in months. I have to get on there. I just have not had time. And, of course, Disney Infinity, I got every Star Wars figure. And I loved Disney Infinity, but of course that is no more.
Ah, so disappointing.
Yes. I did get my Finding Dory set, though. So I did get Finding Dory and Nemo. So I have one last hurrah with that game, and then I'll be like, okay, goodbye, I guess. It's still going to be great. Wah. It'll be good. Hey, for anybody listening who's like, oh, yeah, Disney Infinity, whatever, I really do suggest getting the game, especially now that it's on clearance. It will continue to work, just because if some of the servers go down of, you know, the community of sharing some of the stuff, which is nice. A lot of the games are really good too, so you'll still be able to play, and the figures are just pieces of art. Many of them are just sculpted beautifully, so it's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm using this opportunity to really expand my Disney Infinity collection.
Yes.
Anyway. this is your tale of Larian, not mine. All right, let's move into something equally as fun as playing Star Wars. What's your favorite lightsaber duel and why?
Favorite lightsaber duel? Let's see. Again, this one kind of flip flops between a couple, either Empire or Return of the Jedi. Both of them have interesting pacing. If I want just just all action, you know, all nonstop, I'll go with Duel of the Fates. But, you know, today I'm going to go with Return of the Jedi. Usually it goes between Empire and Jedi. But, again, this is like one of those questions. You hit me tomorrow, I'll probably say Empire. But today I'm going to say Jedi, just because it's not as much about the fighting in that, but it is about the in-between moments that are really powerful. Mm-hmm. And just that scene of Luke hiding from Vader and the light. And there's so much. I mean, this the shot itself is composed so well, where Luke, half of his face is in the light and half of his face is in the dark. Mm-hmm. And you don't know which way he's going to go. That's like, it's like, boy, they're hitting you on the head with it. And then, of course, when Vader mentions sister, and
so you have a twin sister.
Obi-Wan was wise to hide her from me.
Now his failure is complete.
Good. You did the sound at the end.
Yep. Yes, you have to.
Well, anyway, that scene is just chill-inducing for me. And when he comes out and just goes all out on Vader and just chops off his hand, and then the camera shows Luke just with this kind of anger / smile a little bit on his face, and until he hears the Emperor cackling at the background.
And good!
And it shuts him down, and he just realizes what the heck he's just done, and that his father, oh my gosh, go figure, he has some robot parts in him. And Luke has robot parts too, and oh, what am I doing? And I'm going to throw my lightsaber down and say no more. It has some great moments, Luke jumping up on platforms, doing all that stuff, but it's the in-between moments. It's the powerful moments right there that really make that duel stand out, because it really, so far in the saga, has been the most important duel in many ways. It stopped it brought back Anakin in a sense. I mean, towards the end of it. So, I'm going to go with Jedi today.
That works for me.
Yeah.
Considering Jedi is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yes.
So anyway, all right. Let's go a little bit deeper and get into the psyche of Joey. No. Maybe not quite that deep.
No, there's not. It's a pretty shallow pool.
Okay. but let's dive into it nonetheless. Provided that the lifeguards are nearby. What has Star Wars brought to your life? This is a very broad, wide open question, so take it as you will.
Well, Star Wars for me, I mean, for me, it's brought a story that I really appreciate, and I can apply it to many different things in my life. It's brought me lots and lots of merchandise, and it's brought me a lot of connections, you know, both in person and online over the years. Star Wars is, for me, it's unlike any other, you know, fan, you know, thing out there, or really, I'll just say pastime. Because some people, kids in my school say, Mr. Letson, why do you like Star Wars? And I'll go, oh boy, okay, that's a hard question. And I'll, you know, try to give it a few words. But I tell them, you know, like, and they go, you know, oh yeah, I don't like Star Wars. I go, oh, that's okay. What do you like? And they go, well, I like football or I like basketball. I go, that's cool. That is your Star Wars. And you are passionate about that. So for me, it makes sense for me. You know, it fits with me. And for why that is necessarily, I don't know. It just, the story speaks to me, and the people, I like the people that are involved in Star Wars. I've met Kyle, I've met, you know, other people, you know, online and in person, that it started from a love of Star Wars, and that's awesome, you know. And then when it finally came to meeting many of these people in person at Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim, that was, you know, just to the next level of awesomeness. I went to the Rebel Force radio party over there in Anaheim, and I met so many people that, oh yeah, you're from the forum right there, and hi, I'm Joey, and all, hey, and it's like we knew each other, but you never saw each other in person, but we were like fast friends just like that. And I had that experience over and over and over again in Star Wars Celebration, because, you know, I kind of, in many ways, kind of did my own lone wolf kind of thing, you know, in Star Wars Celebration. We'd meet up every now and then here and there, but for the most part, I would kind of like, you know, just get in line and I'd be doing this. But every time I got into a line, I was next to a friend. I mean, I just kind of talked to them, hey, what about that trailer, huh?
Then
we'd have a discussion for 30 minutes about the trailer, you know, about what do we think is going to happen in episode 7. Oh, we talk about this and this and this and on and on and on. And it was great. And it was in no other place could you find such a set of nice, passionate people that are passionate about the same thing you are. Because I can go to, you know, some of the other conventions, you know, I've only gone to two, Tucson and Phoenix Comic Con, but in those you meet some very nice people, but they're not necessarily going to be into the same thing you are. They might like Star Wars. Yeah, sure. Oh yeah, Star Wars. I like Star Wars. That's a really, oh yeah. But are they going to plop down enough money to actually go to the Star Wars convention and drive across the country to go see it? Maybe not.
Right.
These people are, and they are all there for that love of Star Wars. And the energy and everything about it was just intoxicating. It was a great experience. I loved it.
So was Anaheim your first celebration?
Yes. That was my first celebration. And I don't know when the next celebration I'm going to be able to go to, because it comes at a bad time of year for teachers. It really, really does. It comes around the time of high stakes testing, mm-hmm. which, as we all know, for better or for worse, that is the, you know, Super Bowl of the year for teachers.
Right.
I was able to sneak out barely last time. But this year, I don't think I'll be so lucky. You know, I hope that they move it into the summer, or perhaps maybe, or just some other time other than that. But yeah, it was my first celebration, and I didn't know if I was going to go or not. And I know that I was talking to you and Kyle.
Kyle and I talked you into going.
Yeah.
I do recall that.
Yeah. You're like, Joey, you have to go. You have to go. And I'm like, okay. All right. All right. So I scrounged up the money, and I was able to go. And yes, it was.
I will say it didn't take that much convincing.
No, not that much. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that it's just the people, and even, I mean, all the way up to even the people working at Lucasfilm. If you're able to, you know, every now and then, I mean, they're not going to drop everything and talk to you like on Twitter and stuff. So I know everyone likes to, you know, harass Pablo Hidalgo with, is this canon, is that canon, and everything like that. he's not going to do that all the time, folks. But every now and then, you know, they are available for some questions here and there. And even like some people like Andy Gutierrez, who co-hosts the Star Wars show, and of course the Rebels. What is it? Rebels Recon. That's what we do mm-hmm. mostly. I was so
D-Goots.
Yes, D-Goots. I was so lucky on the Star Wars Rebels season 2 premiere. I'm just kind of sitting in the back. I'm like, okay, well, I can still kind of see the screen. That's good. All of a sudden, they say, is anyone here by themselves? And I'm like, oh, well, I am. And they're like, okay, come over here. We'll get a seat for you. I'm like, okay, sweet. Third row. There I am, right in the, you know, kind of basically right in the VIP section. And I'm like, oh, this is a lot better. And who sits next to me but Andy Gutierrez and her boyfriend? And I'm like, you're the girl from the Star Wars Report, aren't you? And yes, I am. And so she shook my hand. And
not the Star Wars Report.
Oh, Star Wars, not for Star Wars. Yeah, that's
StarWars.com.
Yes, that was the Blantons. Yes, they. I did meet, which was awesome as well. But anyway, so yes, the Star Wars show and everything, the Rebels Recon. So she sitting next to her and everything was, again, just like you're sitting next to one of your friends, and she's freaking out about little things just as much as I am. And oh my gosh, when that whole The Apprentice Lives moment hit, oh, that was bigger than the trailer for me in a lot of ways. That gasp, it was the gasp heard round the world. that room went crazy. And it was just an awesome experience. And then also, I mean, I gotta again brag one more time about the experience of going to Celebration. That night, one of those nights, I said, oh, I'm gonna go to Disneyland. It's right next to me. Yeah, I'll just check it out. I had an annual pass at the time to go to Disneyland. So I go in there and I'm just like, I'll just hit a couple rides, whatever. I'm checking my Instagram while I'm waiting in line, and I see that Kyle Newman from, you know, the director of Fanboys is taking pictures of him in the park at the time. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. They're in the park. That might be kind of – maybe I'll run into them or something. Uh-huh. And then I get this Periscope notification from both him and Matthew Wood that they are in the park. I'm sorry, not Matthew. Matthew Wood does voice of – yeah, Matthew Wood does the voice of Grievous and everything, right?
Yes.
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 Him and Matthew Wood are periscoping live from Big Thunder Mountain. Well, oh my God, I have a Ben Quadraneros vintage figure in my bag that one of my missions was, I got to get this signed by Kyle Newman, because Kyle Newman is responsible for that figure being made. I was going to put a different adjective in front of the figure, but for that figure being made. So I rushed over with that figure in hand, marker in the other hand, and I caught them right when they were getting off of Big Thunder Mountain. I said, Mr. Newman, I have a Ben Quadraneros figure. Can you please sign this, please? Oh, sure. Yeah, great. And how'd you find us? Well, you guys were just periscoping. Oh, that's great. And wouldn't you know it, Matthew Wood brings out his phone once again to periscope the moment right there again. So I got to I got to meet, Kyle Newman, Matthew Wood, and he goes, oh, you know, Matt here, he was the voice of Ben Quadraneros. Do you want his voice? Do you want his signature too? Yeah, please. So Matthew Wood goes and signs my figure as well. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the best moment ever. Sam Witwer is there. I guess Topher Grace was in the background someplace. It was just a surreal moment.
And you now have the most expensive Ben Quadraneros action figure ever.
Yes. I unless someone can prove me wrong, which please don't. I have the most expensive Ben Quadraneros figure. It is on a prominent display on my collection right now. And I love it. I love it. And again, just genuinely nice people. And that's what's awesome about Star Wars. Just the people.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go into, in my opinion, one of the hardest questions of this. What is your favorite piece of Star Wars music?
Okay, favorite Star Wars music. That is a hard question. I'm going to go with the same answer I gave last time, I believe, which is the battle on Endor, the Ewok. I don't even know the title of the track.
It's called, I think, Forest Battle.
The Forest Battle, yes. Just because it has a playfulness to it, and it has a fantastic, powerful finish.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great finish that they use that ending in almost every Star Wars trailer that there was for like the Clone Wars and for various video games and everything like that.
They really did.
It was just that. I won't bother everybody with my a cappella singing of it this time.
We'll get it here in the show at some point, so
oh, good.
Don't worry. We'll end the show with it.
Yay! Okay, so yes, so that is just my favorite. That it makes me smile.
it is one of my favorites as well. I don't know where exactly it ranks, but for those of you who are going, what? It's the Forest Battle Concert Suite.
Yes.
So it is really one of the most high intensity pieces of music to come out of the Return of the Jedi soundtrack. So, and it's just so much fun.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. This is going to be just our final question here is just to sort of make sure we didn't miss anything that you
okay.
want to include. So what do you love most about Star Wars? Another very broad question.
Yes.
Take this whichever direction you want to sort of, you know, wrap up your little story here.
I'm gonna cheat and I'm gonna say the two things because it really is kind of again equal. For me, it's the overall story of Star Wars of a hero's journey / a hero's redemption is such an awesome, amazing story that I love. I just love it. And the other thing I just love about Star Wars is, again, I'm going to go back to the friends I meet, the people I talk to, the passion we share. And that is, it's so cool. And it's one of the cool things about listening to these episodes of Tales of the Larians is because I hear people from different parts of the country. And, you know, we're all different, but we have the same thing in common. And it's amazing. It's something that binds the galaxy together.
Indeed.
And you know, it's we get to do so many cool things because of it too. I mean, we have we've hosted numerous panels at both Tucson and Phoenix Comic Con, which those are a blast. And again, meeting people right there who come to see it and talk to us in person and see them year after year and just meeting like 501st members and stuff like that. Like I had a Star Wars night at my school, and just the connections I made with different members of the Rebel Legion and with 501st members, just the nicest people, really, really are. I have to go back to the people. So yeah, story. I love the story. It's just the generalities of the story. Yes, great action. Yes, some very funny moments, some very moving moments, but all in all, it's that story of a becoming a hero from zero to hero, you know? Just like that.
little Hercules.
Yeah, and... I don't know. Why not?
Why not?
But yeah, and but overall, the thing that keeps it going though for me is the fan community. It's the people.
That is very awesome. And we are very happy to have you in our fan community here for the Wampa's Lair. Joey, as we wrap this up, you are also a podcaster now in your own right. So you're not only one of our Larians, but you've got your own podcast. Before we wrap this up, if people want to get in contact with you personally or listen to your awesome Animaniacs podcast, ooh, yes, folks, where can they do that?
Well, first of all, I'm on Twitter and of course Facebook as well. If you want to hit me up there, Joey Letson or Joey in Tucson on Twitter, and of course I just, like Jason just mentioned, I just started recently an Animaniacs podcast called the Animani Cast. And
how original.
It all started basically with the name. It's like, that's a kind of a cute name. Let's do a podcast on the Animaniacs. Why not? So we partnered up recently. We've become a member of the Retro Zap Network, which has a ton of podcasts that your listeners might be familiar with. You know, there's the Blob of the Hutt and Skywalking Through Neverland and Techno Retro Dads. Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of fit into that niche right there of talking about kind of quote unquote retro things and really talking about all types of things right there. We basically talk about an episode of Animaniacs. So we're now gone through 10 episodes so far. Mm-hmm. But in the process, we talk about the different references that the Animaniacs brings up. And it could be the Marx Brothers. It could be adult innuendos. It could be various things that go all over the place. And I don't think there's been one episode that we haven't brought up Star Wars in some way, one way or another. Because one of the co-hosts is actually Kelly from Big Shiny Robot, and her Twitter handle is Yoda Princess. She's actually been as close to George Lucas, I think she's been within about 5 feet.
Oh my god!
Yeah. I just talked to her.
Jealousy.
I know. Every time we start a Skype conversation, I always go, remember you were next to George Lucas? Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah. So she's passionate about George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and John Williams.
She's incredibly passionate about Spielberg.
Yes, very much so. So,
well, I think her favorite word is Spielbergian.
Yes, how Spielbergian. So if you're looking for a podcast that, yes, it does deal with the Animaniacs, but it also talks about, oh gosh, everything in between that we go off on, check that out. It's been a lot of fun. We're at retrozap.com/Animaniacast. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/Animaniacast and Twitter.com/Animaniacast. We're all social and all media-ish like that. So, yeah, if you want to hear more of my wonderful voice, then you can head on over there.
And it's a lot of fun, folks. So if you're at any way interested in the Animaniacs, you should check it out.
Yeah.
Maybe the first Animaniacs podcast ever. I'm not certain.
I think it probably is.
first dedicated Animaniacs podcast.
Yeah, and you know, who knows? Maybe. I'm not going to promise anything, but maybe, just maybe, we'll continue to, you know, when we wrap up all 9,900 episodes of Animaniacs, we just might go into Tiny Toons or the Pinky and the Brain series or Freakazoid or something like that, because there's just
Pinky
so
the
much.
Brain would be awesome.
Yeah, there's just so much out there. So we'll see. There's more to come. Lots more.
Good. But you have a long way before you have to make that decision.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. Well, folks, if you want to get in touch with us here at the Wampa's Lair podcast, listen to a regular Wampa's Lair episode for that contact information, because this is just our Tales of the Larians. If you want to get involved and be a part of one of these Tales of the Larians episode, we do request that you email us. That way we can get your name and your email so that we can put you on our ever-growing list of people that are interested in this. We're going to be doing it about once a month or so. Maybe we'll get an occasional two out a month. But you know, we've got a list going. We just want to make sure we have your contact information and everything so that when you're coming up, we can get in contact with you. So email us at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com if you want to tell your tale here in the Wampa's Lair. Anything else, Joey, that you want to get out there before we wrap this up?
No, that's it. I just thank you for the opportunity to be on the show, and I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Aw, shucks. And we love you too, Joey.
Aw.
So that'll wrap up this episode of Tales of Larians. It's been episode 6 with Joey Letson. For Joey, I'm Jason, and we'll see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.
Boom!
Boom! Boom! This is very scary. Grabbing that Jedi and pow! He's like,
yeah. Well, we did that without any interruptions from custodians or anything like that.